for today, which is management commentary. So I'm going to pass over to Matt then to tee us up on this one.
Right, so good morning, everyone. So this is Agenda Paper 6 on management commentary. And we're going to start with a 20-minute introduction just explaining what the board sees as the objectives and the motivations for its project to update the management commentary practice statement, and then we're going to ask you to do a breakout session for 45 minutes to take your views on some of the most critical areas that the board might need to address in this space. So to recap, the board took the decision to take on a project on its management commentary practice statement, which was originally issued in 2010. It took that decision back in November. So the staff currently are working on developing the update for which this session is part of the input to that. I'm going to just spend a few minutes talking about the scope of the board's interest, and if you want to follow on the slides, this is slide number 4 in paper 6. So this is an extremely broad area, so it is important to be clear about what the board sees as its objective and what's outside the scope of its objective. So first of all, by management commentary, this is something that is known by various names in various places. So MD&A, strategic report, operating financial review, or indeed in some places, management commentary. So it is we're talking here about the narrative discussion that's presented alongside the financial statements, typically in an annual report. The information in here is typically confirmatory of other market announcements that have been made by the company in the course of the year and other investor presentations. So it largely has a confirmatory role. In terms of the role of the management commentary, it fits both within the realms of financial reporting and what we'd call wider corporate reporting. Now, wider corporate reporting includes areas such as reporting to support public policy objectives and reporting to meet the needs of a broader group of stakeholders than providers of finance. So those two things, we had quite a long discussion back in November, but those two things are outside the scope of the management commentary project. So we're purely looking at information that is to support users' interpretation of the financial statements. And really, I suppose to summarise, to help them understand how the financial statements have developed during the course of the year and how they might be expected to develop in the future. This is operationally centric information that is focused on users' interpretation of the financial statements. In terms of sustainability information, because I know this is a sort of extremely high profile area, we would see sustainability information as being relevant to the management commentary to the extent that it is relevant to the entity's strategic prospects. If it's not relevant to the entity's strategic prospects, then we wouldn't see it fitting inside the management commentary, though one can easily recognise there is a valid need from other reporting channels for information to meet broader stakeholder needs. So the management commentary...
When you say management commentary, do you mean the management commentary, the future amended management commentary practice statement? Or do you actually say that shouldn't be in the annual report?
So, in relation to the sustainability information. So we say that the sustainability information belongs in the management commentary report that an entity prepares to the extent that it is strategically relevant. So if it's relevant to understanding the future value story of the business, then it belongs in there. If it's to meet more niche needs, for example, to support employees' interpretation of whether they want to work for the entity, then that's a different use and that would belong outside the management commentary.
So it should not be in the annual report as well?
So it would not normally be in the annual report. Most annual reports would be focused on user needs as a primary user need.
In my experience.
No. I can understand that the practice statement of the ISB would focus on that area.
And that's what
I see that there are big divergence in across countries and across companies, where some companies are making very valid choices in including maybe a more broader stakeholder approach. I just find it strategically maybe a bit sensitive for the ISB to say that should not be in your annual report.
I think that goes beyond our remit.
Yes.
I think it's not to say that.
The annual report is specified by national legislation, that content, and there are, as you say, many examples, particularly in the public policy area, where disclosures are required. One of the challenges with that, though, is that those disclosures may or may not meet the investor needs. Mm-hmm. So by the ISB focusing on management commentary for its primary users, it can focus on the needs of those users. And it may well be information on sustainability areas that belongs in there, but it might be a different information set that is needed.
And would all of this then go into the back half of the report, or are you actually saying, okay, you know, there should be stuff that should be going into the front half, and then it's up to the regulator to see to what extent they want to toss in fluff?
Yes, so fluff. We are talking about the front half of the report here.
But you're not intending to change the status of the practice statement, are you? It's all indicative rather than actually going to be a formal standard and a requirement.
It's not mandatory guidance, yes.
I think that takes me on to the next question, actually, which is, given that this is an area where legislation and guidance is typically provided at a national level, although there are some notable international frameworks, what is it that the board can offer with a practice statement that is voluntary? And indeed, when we looked at the influence of the original practice statement, we can't point to large numbers of entities who prepare management commentaries in accordance with the practice statement itself, but we can point to a large number of national frameworks and international frameworks, such as integrated reporting, the CDSB's framework, for example, which use the original management commentary practice statement as the reference point, as the building point for developing their own frameworks. So, and I'm sort of move on to slide five now. We see we can add value here by looking at the wide range of practice developments since the original practice statement was issued, and by consolidating the best parts of the content in there, including innovations from integrated reporting, including innovations, for example, from the UK strategic report, from Germany's GAS 20, and elsewhere around the world. So there are lessons to be learnt that we can build on in the practice statement. But there are also areas in current practice where we think there may be gaps to be closed, and that's something that we'll come on to ask you to think about shortly. So, for example, inconsistencies in the way that business models are reported and important facets of those business models are addressed. What's often described as very short-term strategic focus in the narrative discussion and the performance information that's provided in the report, and challenges around the relevance or otherwise of operational performance indicators that are being provided to give insight into there. And I think all of that, you can say that there is a common theme with those challenges around, Are there gaps in reporting content that are contributing to short-term behaviours because the market can't see aspects of long-term performance, or because boards are encouraged to manage the performance indicators that are visible rather than those that aren't being reported on? So, to some extent, this is potentially an exercise in consolidation of existing good practice, but we do think that the conceptual framework is extremely relevant to non-financial reporting as well as financial reporting, and we think that we can use that to bring more rigour to the reporting of some of the areas that that we've been talking about. So, over on slide 6. I will just give you a sort of fairly broad overview of what we see as the content and the factors that are likely to drive our update of the content. If I had to sort of summarise in one phrase, what is the management commentary trying to do? Well, it's trying to bring insight into the company's strategy for creating shareholder value over time. It's focusing on the company's progress in implementing that strategy and providing insight into the potential impact on the future financial performance of the business not yet captured by the financial statements. That doesn't mean it's requiring forecast information necessarily, but there's a wide range of leading historical indicators of operational performance that are relevant to understanding the future prospects of the business and making an assessment of those prospects. At the bottom of slide 6, I've highlighted four broad ideas or concepts that we can look to as we're developing the update. The first is around long-term value creation, so putting the emphasis on reporting on matters that are relevant to the long-term sustainable performance of the entity rather than just its current year performance. Second is bringing a business model focus to the report. So this is the idea of focusing the reporting content on the matters that are most relevant to the specific circumstances of the business, rather than providing a checklist of disclosure areas for all companies to meet, whether they're relevant or not. Thirdly, integration and linkage. This is a concept that you see in integrated reporting as connectivity. We've used the language that the FRC uses, linkage. It's the idea of building a story through the report so that if, for example, the entity says that developing its staff base, its R&D staff, is critical to the future of the business, then relevant information, it will be relevant for the entity to report on its progress in developing the staff base and provide some insight into what that might mean in terms of its future prospects. Relationships, resources and intangibles are an area of sort of very broad public focus. But in the context of the management commentary, some of the criticisms around short-term strategic performance in narrative reporting perhaps relate to the fact that entities don't always focus on the resources that are most critical to their long-term success. So we think we may be able to provide some more rigour around how entities identify those resources and think about what is relevant to report on in the context of those resources. So we're not looking at a whole sort of broad array of resources. We're perhaps looking at the, you know, five or six areas that are most critical for long-term business success. And finally, in terms of principles, we think that the preparers very often struggle with the application of materiality in the context of narrative reporting. We think our materiality practice statement gives us a good basis to apply in the context of narrative reporting, but we recognise that perhaps we might need to consider more guidance within the management commentary practice statement to help preparers to apply that. And then finally, and this will be the focus of the exercise we ask you to have a look at in the breakout groups, the current practice statement sets four broad areas of content in terms of what belongs in the management commentary. I'll perhaps start with current year financial analysis. I know you have been discussing that earlier in the context of management performance measures, I think yesterday. But current year financial analysis might also include discussion of the operational drivers of performance. For example, you see earnings bridge type analysis is quite common in addition to underlying earnings measures and in addition to breakout of financial balances, for example, the reporting of maintenance capital expenditure as a subset of growth of total capital expenditure. So there are things to cover in the context of current year financial analysis in addition to the non-IFRS adjusted earnings. There are areas to cover potentially in respect of forward-looking statements. I'll reiterate there that we don't think it would be productive and we don't anticipate requiring companies to provide forecasts. But where they have chosen to do so, perhaps there's something we can contribute in terms of the way in which the forecast is explained, the way in which assumptions behind the forecast is explained. So, for example, practice in Germany is quite well developed here, so there may be some things we can learn from that. And there may be things we can contribute in terms of reporting current year performance in the context of previously made forecasts. So there's some things we can do there potentially that would not necessarily involve requiring companies to provide forecast information. Then the last two boxes on here perhaps go together the strongest. There's predominantly narrative description of the business that is focused on the factors most relevant to understanding the strategic drivers of the business. So that would be the business model, the risks around the business model that are material to shareholder value, the strategy for developing the business model and addressing the risks, and meeting the challenges in the operating environment. And all of those things will be unique to the circumstances of the business, but we think we can perhaps provide more rigour, more support for companies in rigorously addressing the most important drivers of value there. And then finally, operational performance indicators. These may be sustainability related. They might be what perhaps some people might see as more mundane measures, such as same-store sales, like-for-like sales, customer retention statistics, the measures that a reader would need in order to understand and interpret where the current financial statements are and interpret how those might be expected to develop in the future. So there's sort of four broad areas of content there. I think briefly, can I stop and invite any questions before we go into the breakout session?
Just before you do, I think it's fair to say that we do see many examples of good practice here already, and this is about us trying to embed best practice across the marketplace. I think that's a fair observation.
Yes, there's certainly lots of patches of good practice, and I think there's an opportunity to consolidate that.
Not quite what I said. any questions or observations before we tee up, go into the questions for the breakout? Okay, let's press on then, Matt.
Okay, so we'll ask you now to break up into two groups to complete an exercise. And really, from our point of view, we'd like your views on the areas that are most important for us to focus on when we're addressing this. So we've suggested, I think, half a dozen areas for potential discussion. You've got 40 minutes, I think, for the discussion. So perhaps if you can choose the two or three areas which you as a group think are most important for us to address challenges in, and then consider whether there are issues with the information currently being reported in those areas. Is practice already very good, or is it patchy? What aspects of practice could be improved, and what guidance might we usefully provide to support those improvements? So I think a 40-minute exercise, and then we'll report back for 10 minutes in plenary at the end of that.
That's great. So just everyone's in the same rooms as they were in the previous exercise. So if you're in the Victoria room, please go back there. Otherwise, stay in the boardroom.